Now, earlier you were talking about transparency with Start Garden, and I guess, you know, maybe talking about the voice. What are you looking for as the voice of Start Garden? And then both to, you know, Jeff and James, what are you thinking about when you're, you know, with social media personas, what you want to create with a voice for a business or somebody's personal usage?
So I think when you look at venture capital, a lot of people hear those words, venture capital,
and it
sounds stuffy. It sounds serious. And I think a common feeling, a common personality that we've gone along with all these projects, Art Prize, 5x5, Momentum included, we've tried to make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had a marketing stance that it is fun. It's happy, and it's not just stuffy investment, that you can have a humor about things, that
right.
you can smile about things
mm-hmm.
and poke fun, because
sure.
it is. It's just as much entertainment as it is serious investment.
Sure, sure. Jeff and James, what do you think about as far as, you know, transparency and the creation of a voice between a social media?
Oh, I think it's very important to figure out what your voice is in the beginning, and you know
mm-hmm.
you can develop it along the way, and it will become part of your business
mm-hmm.
regardless of whether you anticipated it to become a part of your business or not, because you know everybody's on Facebook, so
mm-hmm.
everybody's going to be checking out your page and seeing what it is that you're trying to provide them, whether it's some sort of advice, whether it's just your business specials or deals or anything like that. Your voice is speaking from the business, so it's really part of that.
Sure. Jeff?
It's a more accessible, more engaging, more personable version of your brand. You want to interact with people. You
mm-hmm.
want to yield that interaction into brand advocacy. So
mm-hmm.
you want people to, the more they engage with you and the more they want to talk with you on social media, you're hoping that the more those interactions will yield them, or will yield, you know, more purchases, more, you know, of whatever you're doing, whether your products or services. But the point being that you want to make sure that you're, you know, yielding them to a course of action. You want them to do something related to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not a marketing function. It's a communications function. You're getting your word out there. You're talking to people. You're not pitching them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people got that confused early on and still do to a point these days.
Even if you grew up in a sales capacity, if you grew up in, you know, in different things, if that's how you started in business,
mm-hmm.
you're going to, you know, obviously it's a negative transfer. It's going to be a while for you to, you know, get to that point. But with this, it's I think Michael Hyatt says for every 20
who wrote the book Platform.
Yeah. For every 20 things you say, you can make one ask.
Right.
And that's about the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
I probably am more like 50 to 1 and try to never use social media to make an ask. I'll make a statement once in a while, but for the most part, I just want to, I'll put my content out there, I'll say a lot of dumb, hilarious things to kind of distract and deflect.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I just want people to engage.
But those asks need to be carefully crafted, don't you find?
Absolutely. You're not going to write it like you would write a press release.
Right.
When I write a press release, it's very straightforward and it's to the point and it gets it out there because that's what the medium requires. And
mm-hmm.
social media, you're writing it like you're talking to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you're writing it in a format that is accessible. And, you know, if you are making that ask,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to use self-deprecating humor to kind of, you know, go
soften
it. You know, it's another shameless plug. You know,
right.
You can say some things to
sure.
soften that blow.
Keep it light and fun.
And go. It's like, all right, I'm asking you guys to do something. Or in the case of that, you know, tour that we went on,
mm-hmm.
at some point you're not, if you craft it correctly, it's not really an ask as much as it is just an opportunity for
right.
people to.
And maybe to involve them and make them feel that they're a part of whatever is going on.
And that's what social media allows you to do the
sure.
most, is it allows you to give people a chance to be a part of something from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I would use that and stress that you use it for the entire process of your project
mm-hmm.
so that by the time you really need attention for your project, you already have the people in place to make that happen for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, James, you started the Grand Rapids Social Media Group on Facebook, which I think is a great asset. What made you think that there was a need for a group?
Well, we've got a lot of talent in Grand Rapids on social media. I mean, I'm sitting with a few of them right now, so
mm-hmm.
that's one thing that was, you know, said to me that there was a need for this.
Sure.
most of what was happening when it was created was the transition from Facebook to the new Facebook with the news feed and everything like that. So it was there in place so that people could find their way around the new Facebook. And then as Facebook advances and the timelines come out and their different features and stuff, they're misplacing things, they're putting things other places. So we're basically a help group for each other. It's a it's a real big collaboration more than anything.
So people can share ideas and bounce things off of folks, and it's just a good way to learn from one another.
Yeah, there's a lot of great discussion that goes on, but a lot of it is you know, just trying to help somebody with the problem that they have, or if they need help doing something on Facebook, Twitter.
Or if there's changes in the platforms, or there's a new social media platform, that way people can discuss
like when
that.
When Google Plus came out,
it was about a year ago.
Yeah, it was a big deal, you know, and everybody thought that this was going to be some big Facebook, Twitter, you know,
killer,
or just to match those two platforms.
Right.
And so, you know, that was good discussion during that time, but you know, from there we haven't talked much about Google Plus. So
we're sticking with out there. It seems like there's a certain segment that's a big fan of that as a platform, and I can see the value in it, but I don't see it, you know, really going up against Facebook and Twitter in a big way anymore at this point in time.
Yeah. Hangouts are fantastic. That's about it.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people talk about that. So there's certainly a value with that, but the question will be is, you know, what does Facebook come back with? You know, that's you know, going to be able to go head-to-head with that.
Exactly. They'll come up with something. They always do.
Now, I've always felt that we have a pretty strong social media culture here in Grand Rapids. People really come together for causes like Google Fiber. We had the Walmart project, Toyota's 100 Cars for Good, Family Promise. They just won a Toyota truck. And then last year, Kids Food Basket won a truck. What do you think it's about Grand Rapids and social media? Do we have something unique in the culture here?
I think it goes back to James's group. When you have an ability to coordinate a bunch of people for a cause, that's why you see Toyota Cars for Good. You see all these things pop up, and you see, you know, this city. Not that any of us are taking credit or should take credit for that, but it's you know, because of that coordination that we have and that we actually work together, it allows the city to capitalize off of social media contests.
So, I mean, I think in general, I've always felt that we've had a community that's willing to step up to the plate for great causes, and that's even before social media. So it seems like social media is just an additional catalyst for that. Mm-hmm. Nicole?
I guess I would say I cannot remember how many times I've been asked the question, why Grand Rapids? Why do you love Grand Rapids so much? And I always go back to the fact that I was raised in such a small community. I was raised in Schoolcraft, Michigan, which is it's technically a village. There are three Schoolcrafts in the state of Michigan. There's the village, which is south of Kalamazoo, right actually off 131. You can't miss it. You drive right through it. There's Schoolcraft, I believe, College over near Detroit, which is the one you were referring to.
Okay.
And then there's Schoolcraft County, which is up in the UP.
Okay.
So I'm from the village, and having been raised there and have the community values, it's, you know your neighbors, you leave your doors unlocked.
Right.
I mean, I went home last weekend to see my mom, and I gave her my keys and just realized I don't need to lock my Jeep.
Right.
You just don't do that there.
Sure.
So then after college, I moved over to Detroit, and which is huge. It's a big difference from where I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Detroit, I moved here to Grand Rapids. And I always say that Grand Rapids is the best of both worlds, that you have the big city feel. There's always something to do. But there's this community that just mirrors what I grew up in.
Right.
You put something on social media and the community responds to it, which is definitely think the reason we've had so much success with our community responding to it.
Sure, sure. And I mean, it's very close-knit. There's only a few degrees of separation between everybody, it seems like.
It's still a small town. It really is.
Sure. Oh, very much so. James, you have any thoughts and feelings on that?
Not too much that hasn't been covered already. Like they said, it's kind of a small town feel to it, but it's still a pretty big city. So we've got the people, and we've got the people that are willing to put that participation into effect and get people on board. You know, everybody's all about Kids Food Basket and you know, helping out these organizations to win these national contests.
Sure.
So that's one of the great reasons that, you know, the very reasons that mm-hmm. I love Grand Rapids is just that feel and that feeling of community, and mm-hmm. social media really can help bring that even closer.
Sure.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, we're a top 40 media market, but we mm-hmm. still act like a small town. And
right.
you see other similar size media markets like Las Vegas, I think is probably within 4 or 5 of us.
Okay.
And you see Tony Hsieh of Zappos just investing I want to say like $250 million mm-hmm. In their downtown to create that sense of community, to mm-hmm. get people to want to stay there and work there and foster that. He's witnessed, you know, what our city and some other cities have done and mm-hmm. to, you know, bring that to Las Vegas.
Well, yeah, it's like you're mentioning, you know, another community there. What have each of you seen in your travels to other cities of similar size or larger size? Are you seeing a similar social media culture, that tight-knit feel, or is it not there?
It varies. It depends. There are bigger cities that have a good network, that have a good feel. I think San Francisco has a tremendous community. If you're talking about a top 10 media market, mm-hmm. When you're talking about smaller media markets, even smaller than us, you can look back at Google Fiber and see some of the places like Kansas City, mm-hmm. which is, I think, actually bigger than us. But Sacramento, which I believe is the 18th media market, they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. They coordinate very well. So we're not the only one out there, but we do it well.
Sure.
And especially for our size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.